On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Backed by popular demand on The Rusk Report on the Bet 1520, we have the Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker on the program. To tell you a little bit about this dynamic young Republican leader, he was elected chairman of the Erie County Republican Committee in October of 2022. As chair, he is committed to re-energizing the grassroots of their committee and growing the Republican Party all over Erie County. Michael Crocker has spent his career in service to the Republican Party, a former executive director of the Erie County Republican Committee. As a senior congressional aide, Michael Crocker has served in Republican leadership positions at the local, state, and federal levels. A very dynamic, inclusive, forceful leader, Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker. Now, you've got a young lady running for county executive, a fresh face, a vibrant, exciting candidate, more conservative than the incumbent. I believe she wants a smaller and lesser government in Erie County with less government intrusion. Let's talk about Chrissy Casilio for Erie County Executive Chairman Michael Crocker.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. That was a wonderful introduction. I'm glad to be with you again today. We've got a great opportunity here in Erie County to grow the Republican Party, and you talked about, you know, my interest in trying to re-energize the party. I think some of that starts with getting more younger individuals involved in our party. And I think we found an outstanding, energetic candidate for county executive, somebody with business experience, with experience raising a family, a leader in her community, and that's Chrissy Casilio. She is an outstanding conservative candidate who understands the challenges facing the people of Erie County and is presenting a very clear contrast to our current county executive, who has spent nearly 20 years in county government, has lurched further and further to the left, and is essentially complicit in all the craziness we're seeing out of Albany. And it's time for a new direction, and I believe Chrissy Casilio is the clear choice to take our county in a new direction.
Well, you used to be involved with the group Unshackled New York, and I believe we had you on for a half an hour a few years ago when you were in that role. And it must disturb you tremendously from your former position as a pro-business advocacy role to today, when you see every year in the state of New York a 4% increase in budget, when we don't see that in our wages. Let's talk about this picture of big government with Joe Biden, Kathy Hochul, Mark Poloncarz, just taxing our country and Western New York particularly in a very bad situation. Let's talk about that, Michael Crocker.
Yeah, we've got big government progressives at every level here in Erie County, unfortunately, with the far-left county executive, a far-left governor, and our current president, who's intent on destroying the successful economy that was built under President Trump. Mark Poloncarz, our county executive, likes to talk about how vibrant the West New York economy is, but the Buffalo job market still continues to lag behind the rest of the nation in its post-COVID economic recovery. City of Buffalo is the third poorest city in the United States. And what's Mark Poloncarz focused on doing? Regulating whether or not private citizens can lease or rent their private pools to people who are interested.
So you're saying that's a very minor concern, ridiculous.
It's a completely ridiculous thing to be placing on your priority list when we have real challenges in this county, and we have real problems in the state. I just read a report that the Democratic state controller, Tom DiNapoli, is raising alarm bells about state revenues, that we're spending more than we're taking in. And that's a large part because New York's oppressive tax structure is telling people to move to states like Florida, Texas, Tennessee, South Carolina, where they can find better business opportunities. So we're hemorrhaging high-income earners who help us afford the robust state budget that we have here in New York State, and we're chasing them away. And who's going to be stuck paying the bill? It's going to be middle-income earners who aren't able to leave, and ultimately will collapse on itself.
Doesn't sound very good. Let's go back in history a little bit, and Chrissy Cassilio spoke a little bit about this, I believe, in a press release about the COVID shutdown, just basically shutting down Erie County for a year and a half, your restaurants, your cocktail lounges, where in Florida everything was open and they had half of the casualty rate and hospitalization. Wasn't this a complete overreaction on the part of Mark Poloncarz to basically shut down Erie County for a year and a half?
Well, I think it was, in a way, it took on almost a mean-spirited tint to it. Obviously, we want to make sure we're protecting public health, and there were things that needed to be done during the COVID pandemic to make sure we were protecting those in vulnerable populations. Everybody understood that, and everybody made sacrifices. But I think Mark Poloncarz took the light in the power that he was given and weaponized his office against small businesses. At the same time, he was paying his political appointees outrageous sums of overtime, talking about people taking home an additional six figures in salary, while he had folks from his Department of Health going door to door, peeking in the windows of bars and restaurants, trying to find reasons to shut them down. It was vindictive. While he continued to get paid and his political appointees made huge sums of overtime payments, he went all across his county trying to find opportunities to shut businesses down. And I think it just kind of reflects on the personality and temperament of County Executive Mark Poloncarz, that if he feels he can use the powers of big government to hurt small business, he'll do it.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because the health commissioner, I believe, was making more than the president of the United States, over $400,000 a year for overtime. And my understanding, and you've served in government for a long time, that management confidential employees are not entitled to overtime. So what is this nonsense of paying somebody $100,000 or $200,000 in overtime when they're not supposed to get this? This is under Mark Poloncarz.
Well, first, I'd argue that our health commissioner and our president aren't worth the money we're paying them. But you're absolutely right, Brian. If you remember, when Stefan Mihailu was our county controller, he raised concerns about this topic. He brought up the fact that these overtime payments were obscene. And Mark Poloncarz in the Buffalo News called him anti-Semitic for it. They attacked him. And then, we have a change in the controller's office, and suddenly Kevin Hardwick, a Republican turned Democrat turncoat, he raises the issue, and suddenly it's all kumbaya, and we're gonna address this moving forward, and everybody's united. So they didn't want to take any responsibility for the fact that these people were making just truly obscene overtime payments. I mean, most people in Erie County, this is a blue-collar county, can't conceive of making the amount of money that was being paid to political appointees from the county executive. But the fact that our Republican Erie County Comptroller Stefan Mihailu responsibly raised concerns and was attacked with charges of anti-Semitism was a complete and ridiculous deflection from the fact that the taxpayers were getting fleeced in a completely unfair way. And now you see years later, they've sort of quietly accepted that what they were doing was wrong and tried to sweep it under the rug.
Well, shouldn't this health commissioner give back that money when she really was not entitled to it?
I certainly think that would be appropriate, that the fact that your responsibility, you're hired to do a job to protect the health and safety of the county, and you're given a salary as a management confidential employee, and as you mentioned, I've been in public service for a number of years throughout my career. I've experienced blizzards. I've experienced historic storms and other crises. It's just It's part of the job of being in public office.
Well, you never took a penny in overtime, did you?
No, never.
Mr. Ort, ever take a penny in overtime?
No, I remember dealing with
major
disasters working for Congressman Chris Collins, and it was just, hey, listen, this is the job we signed up for, and we're expected to be responsive to the taxpayers who pay our salaries.
And Congressman Collins never got any amount overtime, am I correct?
He sure didn't.
Well, there
he
you
sure
go.
Didn't. In fact, when he was first elected county executive, he worked for $1 a year. So it's completely inappropriate. But it just sort of speaks to the fact that I think, you know, whether it's Mark Pullen Cars, Kathy Hochul, or Joe Biden, they believe that the government belongs to them. I think the Republican Party believes that the government belongs to the people, to the taxpayer. And I just think that's a stark difference in philosophy.
We're speaking with the young, assertive, bright Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, or Hamilton, Ontario, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note as we have 50,000 watts blanketing 17 states and much of Canada from Montreal down to northern Florida, west to the Mississippi. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPO Legal newspaper has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPO Legal. The AMPO Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. And while we're talking about the Polish community, I believe that Jim Lewicki, the president of the Polish American Congress, West New York Division, spoke to you about this. Dr. Gajewski's name was on a county building that's leased to Catholic Health. The name is off the building, and the Polish community has been very adamant to have that name of this local hero and a former Democratic committeeman back on the building. Don't you support the Polish community to put Dr. Gajewski's name back on that building?
Yeah, here in Western New York, we're very proud of the many, many residents of Polish ancestry that we have. We've got a rich Polish tradition here in the Buffalo area and in Erie County. And I believe that representation on that clinic was an important way to pay homage to an important Polish leader. I know that our Republican county legislators have been active on this issue. I'm certain that our future county executive, Chrissy Casilio, feels the same way. But it's a real shame. You know, Mark Pullen Cars likes to trumpet his Polish heritage, but here's a great opportunity for the community to spotlight a prominent Polish leader. And unfortunately, we've taken that down, and he's refused to put that individual back up there. So I applaud, Jim Lewicki. I applaud you and the many members of the West New York Polish community who are continuing to advocate. And I certainly would be an ally in that fight.
And it shows also that you are nonpartisan, because Dr. Gajewski was a prominent Democratic committeeman for 30 years. So I think it shows that you rise above politics for the good of the Polish community.
Well, if you were alive today, we'd love to put our voter registration form in front of him. But yes, we've got to look at the merits of what he accomplished, and he was a truly impressive individual, regardless of his party enrollment. And I think that is just a small way to recognize not only the good doctor, but also the Polish community. As a leader in the Polish community, I think that's a great way to recognize not just one individual, but in a way the contributions that the Polish community has made to our community.
Yeah, and he and my father, who was also a physician, made house calls on the east side in the middle of the night for decades. Let's talk about property taxes and Chrissy Casilio. We have very high property taxes in Erie County, some of the highest in the United States of America. Is Chrissy Cassilio committed to lowering this enormous tax burden, the property taxes in Erie County?
Oh, 100%, Brian. I think it's a top priority and something that, as County Executive Chrissy Cassilio, will work aggressively to address. You know, we talk about, you know, losing population. Part of the reason we lose people is our property taxes are so expensive. People look around and say, you know, when your state's too expensive to retire and you've got a problem, and people are going to leave and they're going to take their incomes with them. And families, you know, home ownership is such an important part of establishing, you know, good standard of living for your families. And we want to encourage home ownership however we can. But when, you know, not only are you dealing with rising home prices, but when you get the property tax bills and you realize you're not going to be able to afford it month to month, you're going to have lower levels of home ownership. So I think it's something that has to be addressed, something that our county executive has sort of only played lip service to. There's a new county mid-year budget coming out, and he's going to propose a reduction in the tax levy, but it's a very small reduction when the county got hundreds of millions of dollars from the ARPA funds through the COVID relief packages. And so he's really trying to do the bare minimum in an election year, and I believe if we had a Republican majority in the legislature and Chrissy Cassilio in the county executive's office, we'd be doing much more to put money back in the pockets of taxpayers, many of whom are struggling at this time.
Absolutely. I'd like to thank those who have called regarding our recent guests, former Erie County Republican Chair Bob Davis, former Erie County Republican Deputy County Executive Carl Calabrese, and the current and past New York State Republican Chair Ed Cox. Next week, we'll have the new District Governor of Rotary International from West New York, Scott Marson, on this program. A little bit more information about Erie County Republican Chair Michael Crocker. In addition to his role as chairman, Michael Crocker serves as senior advisor to New York State Republican Senate Leader Rob Ort, who's been on this program many times. He previously led the Senate's GOP statewide political operation. Very dynamic, strong Erie County Republican Chair Michael A. Crocker. Let's talk about these illegal migrants who've come into this country. They're called migrants when they come in, but they come in illegally. And recently in Amherst, we had three Colombians who entered this country illegally, arrested for crimes just in the last few weeks. How do you feel about people coming into this country illegally? Shouldn't they go through the normal process as my parents did coming through Ellis Island from Poland decades ago? Shouldn't they come here legally?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a scary situation when the crisis at the southern border has found its way to Buffalo, New York. We're not exactly proximate to the southern border, but that's how bad this has got. It's gotten this bad because of inaction from our president, who's refused to address what everybody knows. Not Republicans. Everybody knows we have a major crisis at the southern border. Our borders are basically wide open, and you know, when we as a country struggle to take care of our own citizens, we have homeless veterans who are in need of support from the government. So we aren't able to take care of those who are not in this country legally. But at this point now, they have reached capacity with illegal immigrants being housed in New York City, and the mayor of New York, in partnership with upstate far left officials, have begun releasing these migrants into communities across upstate, including here in Erie County. I read an article today that they believe there are more than 400 illegal asylum seekers who have been housed here in Erie County. But our local officials are refusing to tell us anything about it. As I noted today, it's a sad state of affairs when the mayor of New York City is more transparent with what's happening in Erie County than our own county executive. And that's as I'm being told, a bipartisan problem. The supervisor of the town of Cheektowaga is a registered Democrat, and she's getting no communication from our current county executive. So this is a problem that's only going to get worse because we have a president who's got his head buried in the sand and a county executive who's refusing to let the public know what's happening in our backyard.
Let's be clear on your Republican-endorsed candidate for county executive, Chrissy Casilio. She opposes bringing in people who've entered this country illegally being brought to Erie County. Is that correct?
Yeah, that campaign has called for emergency declarations and encouraged individuals or encourage our county executive to actually develop a plan and be transparent with the residents of Erie County. Those calls have been so far met with silence from our county executive. But I know that the members of our Republican County Legislative Caucus have similarly pushed for emergency declarations that have been drafted in counties across upstate New York, controlled by Republicans and Democrats alike. What did the Democrats in the county legislature do? They buried that resolution in committee and have refused to do anything about it. You cannot solve a crisis with inaction and refusing to address it, but unfortunately, that's exactly what Democrats in Erie County have done.
Let's talk about loss of population. John Katsimatidis, who owns WABC Radio, has said that 480,000 New Yorkers have left New York State in the last 2 years, working people, and we've had 200,000 people who have come into this country as refugees come into New York State. Isn't this a bad process?
So you mentioned I work for Senate Republican Leader Rob Warren.
Yes, a great man.
The senator repeatedly says the single greatest threat facing New York State is the loss of human capital by way of out-migration. Here in upstate New York and western New York, we are experiencing that constantly, particularly in our rural communities. You can see it in things like enrollment in kindergartens and early years in schools, where it's evident that there are fewer families in these communities, and that has a negative impact on our economy, and obviously just on a human level. Too many of us here in Western New York have lost loved ones to other states, and families have been separated as people seek opportunities elsewhere. So it certainly hurts, many, many years of population decline here in Western New York. It's a bad formula, but it's all being caused by far-left policies being pushed out of Albany. When you don't have a state when your state's too expensive, it's too hard to find good economic opportunities, you're going to have no choice but to leave. And until we address the systemic issues out of Albany and become a business-friendly, low-tax state, we're going to continue to see this year after year.
Well, why would someone want to move to New York State and pay 9% state income tax? They moved to Florida at zero. I mean, it's very simple. Congressional redistricting. I know you worked with John Faso and Ed Cox to win the case about congressional redistricting. Now they want to, in the middle of a census period, they want to change it again. It seems that the Democratic philosophy is if they can't win at the ballot box, they will do it through the courts. Isn't this unethical to redistrict in 2023 again, when it was just decided last year that the congressional district should be done in a certain way? Isn't this unethical?
Oh, I would say it's shameless. You're absolutely right. The Democrats feel that they can't win, they're going to change the rules and they're going to cheat. Not only are they attempting to undo the congressional lines that were set by a nonpartisan special master by order of the Court of Appeals last year, they stacked the courts to try to make that happen. They ousted the chief judge on the Court of Appeals. They've added two far-left judges to attempt to influence the outcome. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. They're changing the election laws to benefit the Democratic Party. They're even changing the election years with a push to eliminate local elections and force every elected office to be held in even years, when the important local issues are going to be buried underneath state and national issues and get no attention. So it really is scary to see what the Democratic establishment is doing here in New York. They're essentially relentless in their pursuit of total control at every level of government, and ultimately, unfortunately, It's your, you know, your taxpayer, your individual voter who's going to pay the price, and that's just going to contribute to more out-migration like we talked about.
Let's carry on this on the national level. It seems they're doing the same thing to President Donald Trump. They're scared that he can win at the ballot box, so they're trying to defeat him in the courts to make sure he cannot run for president. Again, isn't this unethical also?
Oh, I mean, it really is. It's a scary time when it's very clear that there's a two-tier justice system in this country. You know, you look at the repeated attacks against President Trump under investigation, under indictment from all sources. Meanwhile, you know, Hunter Biden gets a sweetheart deal for a series of serious things that he's done. And even, you know, the open and shut case on the cocaine found in the West Wing, you know, we're never going to really know what happened there. It sort of seemed like they were just really happy to sweep that under the rug, so to speak. And it's just a very scary thing that you've got what appears to be a weaponization of the Department of Justice and our judicial system against the president's political enemies, while his son skates by, or Hillary Clinton previously skating by any serious charges for their actions. So a very unnerving situation, no doubt. But I think. Really should be a call to action to the people listening to get involved and help taking our country back.
Sorry, we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned a great deal from a dynamic young Republican Erie County Chairman, Michael A. Crocker. A special thanks also to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past 15 years. Thank you for enlightening us once again, Erie County Republican Chairman Michael A. Crocker. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.